Tonight, we give our impressions of Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for the Xbox 360. Plus, guess who doesn't want you to play Brutal Legend? All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of February 15th, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Okay, so a working link is www.allgames.com. That is the working link for the only stream you need to worry about here on Sunday nights. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on All Games Radio, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our phone lines and our Skype line for you to call in. Our phone line is 1-866-880-0156. That is toll-free in North America. And on Skype, it's Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. We're going to open those up probably halfway through. If you're listening to us on the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. You can email me that way. So I wanted to start off with a review of sorts of a game that I really wasn't looking forward to until it actually came out, and I'm like, hey, you know, this is not a bad idea. Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. I reviewed the I played the Xbox 360 version. It's $30 retail, although I picked mine up at Fry's for $25. Which is until, or at least at my Fry's here in the Atlanta area, that's a price until the 19th. So you may still have some time to pick it up there at that price. But $30 gets you over 40 games. And honestly, I'd say that this is one of the best collections of classic games for the money. And these aren't really slouches either. I mean, you've got, you know, all the Sonics, which you kind of have to because it says Sonic in the title. But it's, even though it says Sonic's Ultimate Collection, it's not just Sonic games. The first three Streets of Rages are in it. The first three Golden Axes are in it. All four of the Phantasy Stars are in it, although the first one is an unlockable, which we'll get to in a second. And the two Echo games. And there's a lot of games in here that were good, that people remember fondly from the Genesis days. This isn't a throwaway pack. I mean, and, you know, they even say, because, you know, Phantasy Star 4 is in that, and that's one of the, a lot of people consider that to be one of the best RPG, or probably the best RPG on the Genesis. And when that came out, that was close to $100. And they actually do say in the game, because there's like kind of like a did you know tab associated with each game. And that's one of the things that they said was that, you know, this game when it came out was $100. Now look at how much you paid for this collection. You're welcome. That's almost a direct quote from this, from Phantasy Star 4. But it's a faithful recreation of the games. I'm going to talk a little bit about how it plays the Genesis games first. There was a little bit of controversy before about the quote-unquote smoothness filter, which was in all the initial screenshots, and they actually reverted that to where now you can turn that smoothness filter off. They were basically trying to get rid of the pixelation on a high-definition TV because everything's upscaled into 720. And I'm proud to announce for you that the default is off on that smoothness filter. So when you boot up the game, boot up each game, they actually start in a 4x3 mode and then without the smoothness filter. So it's basically you get the blocky pixelated stuff, and then you can go in and you can turn the smoothness filter on, which works for some games and doesn't work for others. I turned the smoothness filter on, I think it was in the first, in Streets of Rage 1, and it actually got rid of a lot of the city lights, because the way that it works the smoothness is it checks to see if there's dots or something, and it smooths them out. And so it smoothed all the lights, the city lights that were like, you know, orange on black, to be black. It was smoothing them out. And so you actually lost a lot of the picture. You can also switch it between 4x3 and 16x9 for your widescreen television, but what it does is it zooms in. So it cuts off the top and the bottom. It doesn't actually alter the ROM to show more of a viewing angle and stuff like that. It's not like you're going to be getting added screen real estate, which would have been cool if they could have done that, if they could have reversed engineered every ROM. But then it probably wouldn't have been $30. But some games you can do that. Other games you really can't, because there's actual information you need on the top and the bottom of the screen, and you can move it around. Like, you can actually say, I want to see more of the bottom, or I want to see more of the top. But really, after the novelty wore off, I just played all my games in the 4x3 mode, which each game has a different background. So they actually created a different background for the sides. I just played it with that without the smoothness filter. Now, one word of warning for some TVs. If you have a TV that you know has burn-in, you do need to kind of be careful, because the backgrounds do not animate. They don't change. And there's actually some Xbox Live Arcade games that have the same problem, where if you play a game in the 4x3 mode and you have a widescreen television that has a tendency for burn-in, if you play it too long, the images on the side of the screen will burn in. So you kind of need to keep that in mind. You know, every once in a while, hit the back button to open up the actual menu, which darkens everything, and that'll kind of help with that. But that is some concern that you may not think of. So you know, anytime you have like a static image on screen that stays there, you kind of need to be worried about that. Most games don't have that problem, but this one, since they're doing classic games and don't have enough to put on the sides, you need to worry about that. Other than that, the games look very authentic. I mean, I, you know, haven't really pulled out my Genesis, but I've played like Sonic the Hedgehog enough on the Genesis to know that it's a pretty faithful recreation of it. And it's, you know, it's emulated correctly. They actually do have a way where you can configure buttons on the controller, and they actually do this in some of the games. I think it was like Beyond Oasis was one of them, where they actually configured extra buttons to do certain things, like the left bumper actually brought up your map, which initially you had to hit like the A button and then go hit to the right to show map, and then you hit the A button again. They were actually able to map those buttons, and I don't know if that's because those were on the 6-button controller or if they actually edited the ROM to do that. So I thought that was kind of cool. So you can actually map what actions do what, or you could just do the standard ABC configuration and go on from there. There are unlockables in this. There's actually all the Genesis titles are available at the start, but they actually have some arcade and some Master System titles, including Phantasy Star and some of the early Sega arcade games like Congo Bongo and Zaxxon and things like that. To unlock them, you actually have to do certain things in particular games. You know, like to get Golden Axe Warrior, you have to use magic 10 times in Golden Axe 3. And I didn't even know Golden Axe Warrior existed. That probably shows how much I didn't follow Sega. But it's a Master System game, because they were making Master System games at the same time they were making Genesis games. It's a Master System game that's, I guess, kind of, you know, tries to go off the Golden Axe mythology and stuff. But it's not, you know, go right and conquer. It's The Legend of Zelda. It is the first Zelda. And if you don't believe me, you need to go rent this collection, use magic 10 times in Golden Axe 3, and play Golden Axe Warrior on the bonus stuff, because it literally is The Legend of Zelda, the first one, where you have like a screen, and you go on the screen, and the enemies poof up, and you have like, it's a top-down view, and you have your sword, and you're hitting people with your sword, and even the hearts look the same. You start off with 3 hearts, and as you get hit, it looks all the same, and you go through, and there's caves, and it's Zelda. It is such a shameless ripoff. You know, I mean, if Rock Band is considered a shameless ripoff of Guitar Hero, then this has to be a shameless ripoff of Legend of Zelda. So you get to play that on there. Now, what did get me is that the first Phantasy Star is on there, which was on the Master System, and Phantasy Star 2, 3, and 4 are playable right at the start. But to unlock the first Phantasy Star, you actually have to beat the first boss in Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with 2 players. So you need to have a friend with you, and you need to play Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and beat the first boss with both players in order to play the first game in the Phantasy Star series. And this does bring up the fact that there is no online multiplayer. That's probably the only bad thing I can say about it, is that GameTap can actually do online multiplayer in these Genesis games. I can't believe that Sega and Backbone Entertainment couldn't do that with this. So you cannot play online with other people in these Genesis games, which I think would have been a killer app. Like, this would have been flying off store shelves if you could play all these games that had two-player, if you could play them online on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. That would have been kind of the killer. That would have soared this over the top. But they don't have that, but you do have local multiplayer, which, I champion. I mean, I'm glad it's there. I enjoy local multiplayer. But to get a single-player RPG, you actually have to have a friend. Now, if you're playing single-player RPGs, chances are you don't have that many friends locally. No offense, because I didn't, and so I'm speaking from experience here. But that one just seemed a little bit wrong to me. The others, some of them are easy, and they have achievements tucked in there with them, and some of the achievements are super easy. Like, the easiest achievement is in Echo the Dolphin, you talk to another dolphin, which is like the first thing you have to do in the game, and boom, 10 gamer points. But some of the achievements are easy, some of them are a little bit more difficult. Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, which is Dr. Mario, that one you actually have to beat the game, and then you can unlock something. And some of the others, don't die in the first three levels, or make it to the third level without using continues and shinobi and stuff like that. But overall, it's well worth your money if you liked those games, those Genesis games. And I know people will sit there and say, hey, I have more than 40 Genesis games on my PC and they're free. And, I don't really know what to say to you. This is good for the money if you don't want to have to deal with emulators and ROMs and all that stuff. It saves, everything saves to your hard drive. You can do save states in it, I believe. Everything's just right there on the 360, and you get achievements. So if you're into the Genesis stuff and the Sega back catalog, this is actually good. Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. I got it for the Xbox 360, and I highly recommend it. I give it an A, and the reason I only give it an A, I would have given it an A+ if it had online multiplayer. But that's pretty much its drawback, is that it doesn't have any online multiplayer, and it, some of the unlocking schemes are kind of weird, especially with Phantasy Star. But other than that, I mean, it was actually, great to go back and play all the Streets of Rages and see how they've progressed. Now, one thing I did notice, because I actually played one of the achievements is play all the Genesis games, so I played every single Genesis game, like, all in a row. Spent a couple hours doing that, basically played until I died and then moved to the next one. So many Genesis games were all the go right and conquer, where you basically go and you beat up the enemies, and then the little go thing flashes in the top right, and then you continue going right. So many Genesis games were just like that. And I didn't realize how many games from that era were like that, but like just about all of them were like that. And I think Alien Storm, I think, was the name of the Genesis game. That one actually had the Golden Axe sounds and the Golden Axe graphics, except for when the aliens showed up. But everything else looked like Golden Axe. I thought I was playing Golden Axe with UFO attacks. So there's a lot of go right and conquer games in this collection. So just keep that in mind. And Sonic 3D Blast sucks. Just wanted to say that. Chat.allgames.com. If you have any comments, if you've played Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. Bauer CTU says, I would have gotten this Genesis Collection on the first day if I didn't already have the other two Sonic and Genesis Collections for the PS2. ActDev says, and really, if you only care for the Sonic games, then you're missing out on a lot of Genesis games that are pretty damn awesome. SSJ100 Matt says, you had me at Streets of Rage 2. Sully907 says, this collection had me at Altered Beast. Yes, that's in there. Interlogic says, no Sonic CD, no Sonic 3 plus Knuckles, no Knuckles Chaotix other than Fail. And it does actually, it has like Sonic 3 and it has the Sonic and Knuckles, but it doesn't have the lock-on games in it. And that's true. And there's no Sega CD games on it. It's just the Genesis games. So yeah, there's no Sega CD on this. and also no 32X. It's really it's a Genesis and older collection. Dagger Claw says, I have all the 4x3 stretched to 16x9. He's talking about the burn-in. It's not good to have 4x3 running on your TV for hours. And it's still, it's get, see, that's the thing, is that the 360 is still giving you a 16x9 signal. But the background in 16x9 is on the left and the right side. It's the pillars. You know, kind of like when ESPN is running standard def content and you're watching their HD feed, they have their logo on the left and the right side. Same kind of thing here. Dark Sakura says, Bobby, Fantasy Zone, hello. Hello, Fantasy Zone. Sully907, referencing that I have no friends, says, it's okay, Black Wolf. Sega will be your friend until they go out of business. Dark Sakura is also telling me that, you know, I said Mean Bean Machine was Dr. Mario. It's really Puyo Puyo. I gotta sit corrected on this one. Game Guru says, the Sonic Mega Collection Plus is coming to Xbox Live Arcade, so that's why you don't get the lock-on. Everybody does agree with me that Sonic 3D Blast does suck. Dark Sucker also wants me to mention that Treasure's in it, Dynamite Heady, which I had actually never heard of. I'm a bad gamer. But that one was kind of weird. That one freaked me out at first. Now, Hitstun does say, let's see, I already have Sonic 2 on the Genesis and on the PSP collection. Should I buy the Xbox Live Arcade version just for the online? Would you guys play it? I didn't get Sonic 2 on the Xbox Live Arcade. I don't know why you'd... I mean, maybe I guess that's their justification for making you pay $10 for Sonic 2 on Xbox Live Arcade. You can play it online. But, you know, when this is out for $30 and you get 40 other games that aren't bad, except for Sonic 3D Blast, then I don't see why you'd spend $10 on one game when you can just get them for $30. So that was my review of Sonic Ultimate Genesis Collection. I got it for the 360. I believe it's also out for the PS3. So A, it gets an A, and I think that it's pretty much the best collection that I've played for your money. Because I mean, it's not a throwaway collection. I mean, they put some good stuff in here, and every time I said that, somebody in chat was mentioning another game that's on the list, and it's like, oh yeah, that's in there. And, you know, it's the good stuff. There's some that they're missing because I guess they got, you know, they may want to make a sequel. And so there's where the second ones would go. But this is well worth it if you're into this stuff. So let's get into some news. This one came across, I think it was like today or yesterday or something like that. And this was kind of interesting. We've been following Brutal Legend because we like Tim freaking Schafer, even if I was a Sierra fanboy back in the day. We like Tim freaking Schafer. Now, Tim Schafer... creator of the designer of Psychonauts, the most awesome game Psychonauts that you probably never played. He's always had publisher difficulties, at least here in this here in this decade. Psychonauts was originally supposed to be published internally by Microsoft Game Studios. They decided Microsoft decided that they weren't going to do the quirky games anymore, so they dumped Psychonauts and the new Oddworlds game. And that's actually why Oddworld Inhabitants doesn't make games anymore. But we thought that, you know, when he got in with Vivendi Games, and actually with Sierra, that, you know, he was going to be safe with Brutal Legend. And then Vivendi bought Activision Blizzard. I'm making that clear. Vivendi bought Activision Blizzard and then put the Activision Blizzard guys in charge. So they decided that they could not... they decided that they didn't want to publish Brutal Legend. And so... Tim Schafer's here without a publisher again. This is exactly what happened with Psychonauts, and he actually found another publisher, and that publisher being EA. Well, guess who doesn't want the game published? Variety, yes, Variety Magazine. Variety reports that it turns out that Activision Blizzard is under the impression it still has publishing rights to Brutal Legend and is threatening to sue Double Fine, who's Tim Schafer's developer, and new publisher Electronic Arts as a result. They've written a letter to EA informing them of its legal concerns. According to two sources familiar with ActiBlizzard's position, the publisher believes that it was still in negotiations with Double Fine and that the EA deal is invalid. Now, does this mean that Activision wants Brutal Legend for itself? Nope. The reporter at Variety, who's actually gotten things right before, so I consider him a credible source, he's been told that they don't think that the game has the potential to be the kind of mega-profitable Call of Duty-sized franchise that it looks for these days. So what does it want? It wants money. Activision Blizzard wants money in exchange for giving up the publishing rights. This is what it received from Atari for Ghostbusters and the Chronicles of Riddick, Dark Athena, for instance. Double Fine's position, however, appears to be that it owns the rights to Brutal Legend, and that somehow in the merger process, whether because there's no longer a Vivendi Games or because the original Fall 2008 publishing date passed and Activision didn't express interest in finding a new one, it's allowed to find a new publisher. Activision Blizzard representative declined to comment, but EA has responded with its claws bared, giving this rather pointed response. Here's the response from EA, quote, "We doubt that Activision would try to sue. That would be like a husband abandoning his family and then suing after his wife meets a better-looking guy," unquote. So Activision Blizzard does not want Electronic Arts to publish Brutal Legend, but Activision Blizzard also doesn't want to publish Brutal Legend. So my leap in logic here is that Bobby Kotick does not want you to play Brutal Legend. He's going after you, the gamer. That's my leap in logic. And until Bobby Kotick calls the show up and tells me otherwise, that's what I'm going to believe. They don't want to publish it because they don't think that they're going to be able to make a Brutal Legend 2 in 6 months and a Brutal Legend 2 map pack 3 months after that. They can't milk it enough, so they don't want it. But they don't want anybody else to publish it. Yeah, I feel bad for Tim Schafer. All he wants to do is create a game and publish it, and nobody wants him to publish games. And, you know, it's sad. Prowler says that lots of people played Psychonauts. The problem is that many of them didn't buy it until they found it used or in a bargain bin, or until it hit Xbox Originals. Bauer CTU says, "I never thought I'd say that EA was a lesser of two evils, but Activision has proven that they are." You know, EA's actually worked on things, worked on their image. Now, they've still done some really weird stuff that have made them look like an evil corporation, but they've tried to do new IPs. I mean, yeah, they still put out a Madden every year, and they still do the sports titles. But, I mean, they've tried. You know, Mirror's Edge was a new IP. Dead Space was them. You know, they picked up Brutal Legend. You know, they're trying to do the new IPs. They don't want to be known as the publisher that cranks out sequel after sequel and mega huge franchises, because John Riccitiello, the CEO at EA, actually went on record and said, that's not a good way to go. I don't like that. I don't enjoy that. So, I mean, I'm not saying the EA is without fault. But in this instance, you know, Activision Blizzard has kind of taken the mantra of what we called EA several years ago, before they turned around. Sully907 just reiterates and says, "EA has done a lot of good stuff lately. Get off the hate train." I agree. Get off the hate train, EA. Game Guru says, "Who can blame EA for making the sports game? Hey, you know, a lot of people buy those sports games. They also all trade them in the very next year and take up shelf space at used game stores. But a lot of people play those sports games, so I can't blame EA for that. Because, hey, if those sports games fund things like publishing, you know, Brutal Legend and developing, you know, even though I didn't really like Mirror's Edge, you know, they tried. And, you know, if the sports games will fund that type of stuff, then I'm okay with it. I'll let the jocks go buy Madden, and then they can fund what I want to play. You know, that's why I don't have as much of a problem. This is a completely different company, Ubisoft. This is why I don't have that much of a problem with them making all those stupid Imagine games for the Game Boy, or for the DS, rather. You know, Imagine Babies and all this stuff. They're million-dollar sellers, or million-unit sellers and stuff like that. I mean, they're chart toppers. And I don't blame them for that, because I'm pretty sure that some of that money that they're making from the Imagine series is going into Beyond Good and Evil 2. So I have no problem with Imagine being out there, and, you know, that's good for Ubisoft, because then they can allocate more money to developing the games I want to play. Hitstun asked a question about, since we were talking about game collections, and this is one that I'm kind of interested in, I may actually go pick up. Did anyone here pick up Retro Game Challenge for the DS? Retro Game Challenge is the retro complication of the year, mainly for having totally made up games. And it's like, from what I understand, I actually haven't played it. Maybe he'll call in the second segment to talk about it. But it's basically, it's a DS game where you're actually playing made-up 80s games, but they play like the 80s games you remember, and it's basically, it's a challenge. And maybe he can call in and talk about it, because that is one of the games I'm interested in getting. We're getting into the point that other month of the year where everybody releases games. You know, February and March is one time when all the games come out, and then the other time is November. So it's like all the games you're going to want to play all year are going to come out right now. So one last thing I wanted to talk about before we take our break and take some calls is about DRM, because we talk about DRM a lot on here. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that fights for internet privacy concerns, they fight on behalf of the online user. They are taking digital rights management to task. They sent out a press release saying that they called on the Federal Trade Commission to mitigate the damage that digital rights management technologies cause consumers. In public comments submitted to the FTC, EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, explained how DRM, backed by the anti-circumvision provisions of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, impedes innovation and thwarts consumers' rights to make full use of their digital music, movies, software, and video games. EFF urged the commission to study DRM's effect on competition in the marketplace, investigate whether the effects of DRM are fully disclosed to consumers, and promote a set of best practices that, if followed, would help alleviate the burdens of DRM for consumers. Industry leaders argue that DRM is necessary to protect sales of digital media, but DRM systems are constantly, consistently, and routinely broken almost immediately upon their introduction. EFF staff attorney Corrine McSherry says that, quote, DRM does not prevent piracy. At this point, DRM seems intended to accomplish a very different purpose, giving some industry leaders unprecedented power to influence the pace and nature of innovation and upsetting the traditional balance between the interests of copyright owners and the interests of the public. The best way to fix the problem is to get rid of DRM on consumer products and reform the DMCA, but the steps we're suggesting will help protect technology users and future technology innovation in the meantime, unquote. EFF's comments were filed in conjunction with the FTC's town hall on DRM set for March 25th in Seattle. The town hall is free and open to the public. So if any of you are in Seattle and want to be a part of the anti-DRM thing, March 25th, there is a town hall being done by the FTC, government inquiry into DRM and what it does to consumers. EFF is fighting on your behalf. If you are passionate about this at all, I invite you to check out their site, EFF.org. They're always soliciting donations because they're working to protect you, protect the online user from the big bad companies. Going back to our last story, Billy Strader says that Retro Games Challenge is fantastic. Everything about it save for the Rally King SP part. And Game Guru says that also they're all full games, and Billy Strader says that they're good games too. Sully907 on the DRM says, Secure-ROM obviously isn't a solution, but publishers have the right to protect their intellectual property. And I have no problem with them, you know, trying to protect their IP. But the DRM and Secure-ROM and all that stuff, that can't be the a long-term solution. Because it's not working. It is not working. And really, DRM only hurts and impedes the paying customer. Because if you go pirate it, you don't have to worry about how many how many computers you can put it on, or how many times you can upgrade your computer before it won't work anymore. And you don't have to worry about online authentication. You don't have to make sure that you're online on the internet to be able to play the game. You know, I mean, you know, my girlfriend has this problem where she's, you know, she's got her laptop and she's got games on it, but she can't play them. I mean, that it's basically like Steam. You know, when she's trying to use Steam, she can't play them unless she's near a Wi-Fi hotspot, and she doesn't, you know, always play her games at home. A lot of times she's, you know, out and, you know, has some time to kill and wants to play a game on her laptop, but she can't because she's not online. So she can't authenticate the game to play it. That's why she doesn't use Steam. So I don't think that DRM is really the answer. Or the DRM, the way it is right now, is really the answer. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll come back and take your calls on comments about any of this stuff that we're talking about, DRM, Brutal Legend, old Genesis collection games. It's awesome. So we'll be right back after this. You won't hear the music on the podcast, but you'll wish you did. You're listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
You're listening to The Bobby Blackwell Show, the only show where you can find the Da Vinci Code. It's in his beard.
Yes, I played the same bumper 2 weeks in a row because I can. That was Sully907, he sent that, we played it last week, and we're going to play it again this week. If you want to leave a bumper, Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. You can leave a voicemail, or you can email me an MP3 of just your voice at blackwolf@allgames.com. And, you know, part of me wants to actually just play that bumper over and over and over again until one of you people send me some more bumpers. You know, just so you get tired of hearing that over and over, it would be awesome. So I'm going to open up our phone lines and our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything going on, anything we've been talking about preferably, or if you feel that we should be talking about something else that we haven't been talking about, that'd be great too. This is the part where it's all up to you to decide the content. I write no more for the show. I'm done. I only write half the show because I'm lazy. DJ Dark Knight says he loves this bumper. Well, get used to hearing it every single week until somebody else gets creative. And ActF is now searching for the code, the Da Vinci Code. I can't even find it, so I don't know what Sully's talking about. Maybe he knows something I don't, and that kind of scares me. Dark Tetsuya says, I wonder what the evil Bobby looks like, because, you know, the evil Spock had the goatee, so what does the evil Bobby look like? I am the evil Bobby, actually. We do have a call here on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and take it. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hi, Bobby. It's Blade 3.
Blade 3, what is on your mind?
Not much. To be honest, I missed the show tonight. I just got on Skype, and I saw you on. I thought I'd give you a ring.
All right, so what do you want to talk about?
Whatever. What's going on with the news?
Let's see. We discussed Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. You played that?
Haven't.
Okay, so you haven't played that. Brutal Legend?
Have played that.
You have played Brutal Legend?
I have played that.
Really? What is it like? Because, I mean, it's not out yet. So how did you get to play it?
Oh, crap. Beta.
Ah, so you just broke beta, right? You just broke your NDA?
Kinda. I'm not gonna tell you anything about it, so.
Is it awesome?
I can't say.
Does it suck?
Can I say?
Does it suck? Does it have Jack Black in it?
No.
No, it doesn't have Jack Black in it.
Maybe. I can't tell you, man.
So have you heard about, you know, Activision Blizzard not wanting, or now suing EA and Double Fine, saying that they're not allowed to publish it?
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, they probably will.
It's just getting into the betas of rarity. Uh-huh.
So we also talked about the EFF taking a stand against DRM. Okay. You hate DRM, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you hate DRM. Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Is it as awesome as they're making it out to be? The game?
Not that awesome.
No, it's not that. Okay, Brutal Legend is not as awesome as they're making it out to be. Okay. Why mm-hmm. not?
Okay. I gotta go.
Okay, thank you very much for calling.
Sorry. Bye.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. That was interesting. I guess he was like, I gotta go now. Okay, bye-bye. Tiger Claw says, the evil Bobby wouldn't have a beard. He would have, let's see, mustache, and he would have a shaved beard. I don't know what he's saying. So we have another call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Spazinator.
Spazinator, what's on your mind, man?
I just have one quick question regarding that Sega collection for the Xbox 360.
Right.
Now, assuming that some of us out there already have some of the games listed on the disc through Xbox Live, whether it be Sonic 2 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if we and we unlock all the achievements in those particular games through Xbox Live, now if we go get this collection and play the basically same game over again, will we essentially get double the gamer points?
No, because what they do with the achievements in this game, you still only have the 1,000 achievements, is that they have, and it's not even all the games, but a lot of the games will have one achievement. And, you know, like in Sonic the Hedgehog 1, for instance, it's basically get a Chaos Emerald. And that unlocks the achievement. And that's the only achievement you get for Sonic 1. You know, Echo the Dolphin is, you know, talk to another dolphin. That's an achievement. Shinobi 3, it's like get to the third level without using continues. That's an achievement. Streets of Rage 1, it's play through the first level as all three characters. You know, go through and play. So they choose one thing from the majority of the games, not every game in the collection, for an achievement. So it's not the same as getting the achievements in the Xbox Live Arcade version.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I wasn't too sure about that. Mm-hmm. Now, I was thinking of getting a game collection probably next week or so, but, you know, because I love the old Sega stuff, but, you know, I wasn't totally sure if it was worth, you know, my $30 or so.
I think it's well worth the $30 for the amount of games that you get in it. I think it's a very good deal for the games they put in there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
No problem. Thank you much.
Have a good one.
See ya. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 if you want to call in and ask a question or talk about anything else, you know, and ask about achievements, preferably if you've listened to the show or if you've baited a game and you want to tell us how awesome it is or isn't or if Jack Black's in it or not. So, okay, so we now do have another call that's coming in, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is Hit.
Hit's done. What is on your mind, man? Yeah.
Nothing much. I just wanted to talk to you about some of the retro stuff that's come out lately.
All right.
I gotta say, I'm not too impressed with that Genesis collection.
You're not?
I mean,
I don't know you anymore.
It's cool that they have all these, you know, that they managed to get together like nearly 50 games, but like, I just feel like there's a lot that they could have done better with it. They didn't go for any third party stuff at all, because we could have had some awesome stuff from Treasure or Konami.
There is a Treasure game in there, right?
Not from what I saw.
It's
anyway.
That
I mean,
Dangerous Heady.
It was.
Dangerous Heady was a Treasure. I mean, because one of the games has a Treasure logo on it.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh, crap. I'll have to check that out. Well, I don't know. Like, I got that one on my Genesis already, and, like, I don't see much of a reason picking up, like, multiple copies of games. I mean, I already got the PSP collection that already has half these games on it, and if I get this, I mean, if I get this 360 one, it's not portable, and the
You're
Streets
right.
of Rage series is cool and all that, and the whole having a whole Phantasy Star series in one package is cool and all.
Yeah.
I guess it's not enough to... I mean, I'll probably wait for it to come down in price. Most of the retro collections do.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's kind of disappointing that none of it's online, though. I mean, especially when we have Xbox Live Arcade versions of some of these games that are online.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's basically, I mean, they just created a Genesis emulator that emulated all the ROMs. They didn't really have to do too much to it, so would it have been that hard to actually code in a net code for the second player into that emulator, and then hopefully it would just work with all the ROMs with maybe minor tweaks?
Yeah. I mean, I hope they make some more of that emulator, like start putting out like some other company stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, I want to talk to you a little bit about Retro Game Challenge for the DS.
Excellent. Yes. Tell me about this.
I love it. The retro games on here, I mean, it's kind of like a cross between Master System, NES type games, but they did a really good job of, you know, making full games that you're going to want to go back in free play mode and play on after you get all these challenges finished. Although I got to say that the difficulty just isn't retro. I mean, the challenges, especially like in the first three games or so, are just easy if you're retro at all.
So what is kind of the storyline? Like, what is this game about? Like, let's say I've never heard of it before. What is it?
Well, Retro Game Challenge is based on this Japanese show called Game Center CX, or I guess it says on the back of the manual here that it might be coming to the U.S. as Retro Game Master. That'd be cool. But basically, it's this guy, Shinya Arino, who sends you back in time to the 1980s and turns you into a kid and makes you go play retro games, like, for his job or something like that. So basically, you got to go back, and as each new game comes out in the game's timeline, you got to do these challenges, or else you won't get returned to your original time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. The plot's pretty loose, but like half the fun of the game is just like you're sitting next to this little kid version of Arino, which is like talking to you while you're playing the games in between matches and stuff. You know, if you grab an item or something, you'd be like, cool. And, you know, if you stomp on, like, five enemies in a row, he'd tell you how sweet it is. Mm-hmm. And he'd also tell you about, like some of the hype that's going on in the gaming culture about that time period. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's all made-up stuff, but They made it look pretty authentic. They even have like little in-game magazines, like with that's kind of based on EGM and Die Hard Game Fan and all those. Like the editor in chief changes like every couple issues.
So it's so authentic. What are the game like? What the games are obviously parodies of, or basically lifted from retro games. What style of games are there? Like what games can I look forward to in there?
A couple shooters. One's a straight ripoff of Galaga, which is Namco Bandai's the original developer here, so they kind of based the first game off of Galaga. And then there's another shooter that's basically Star Soldier. Then there's this series of platform games, like Robot Ninja Haggleman. That's like just your typical 8-bit action games, but... let's see. There's like an RPG in there that's apparently like 10 hours. I haven't actually gotten to that one yet.
Wow.
But those have like the longest challenges in the game. There's this crappy top-down driving game, but hopefully you can get through that one pretty quick. Oh, and then you get to play the SP version of Rally King, which is just this re-release with like slightly updated tracks. It's kind of a parody of what they did with Street Fighter and like the incremental updates for that.
Gotcha. So,
it's cool. I mean, if you're into retro stuff at all, I mean, even though these games are totally made up, definitely check this out.
Well, that sounds cool. Do you know how much it cost?
I think it was $30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So $30 for six
it's
games.
Like average for a DS game.
Yeah, it's average for a DS game. This one has six different games in it. So,
eight.
Okay. So, yeah. Cool. Anything else on your mind?
No, it's all good. Good show, Bobby. Made me install Skype again.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work, man.
All right, thank you very much.
Good job on the Friday night show, too.
Yeah, that one's a fun one. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Yeah.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. You can call in. We're going to take one more caller, one more quick call, before we head out of here. So Retro Game Collection gets a thumbs up from Hitstun. So if you don't like it, blame him, not me. And I'll try to give it and probably give my my impressions on it later on, because I'd like a new DS game, and I think that one would be right up my alley. Now, Kazoom in our chat says that it's actually not as easy as I made it sound to throw a netcode into an emulator. So I've never done emulation coding. I've done netcoding before, but I've never done emulation coding, and it's probably a little bit harder to put it into something that plays a ROM rather than just hard coding it in, which is probably what they did with Sonic 2, where they actually edited the code. I don't think in this they're actually editing the original code. People are still like throwing out games that are actually in that Sonic Ultimate Genesis collection. You know, Comics Zone is in it, which was a good game. And was really kind of innovative for its time, where the enemies would get drawn on top of you and stuff like that. And of course, people in chat are saying that games like Alex Kidd and Flicky are not worth your time. WhatUpG says the best retro collections I ever bought were the Capcom Classics Collection and Midway Arcade Treasures 2. The only other, I think, real collection, like console based collection, I have is the Intellivision Lives collection, which. Because of the way the Intellivision games were played, on that keypad that you put the insert in and then it had the big disc, it's really hard to, kind of move those faithfully over to a console. And I have it for the original Xbox. And it is backwards compatible, and you can actually get it as an Xbox original, but it's probably cheaper if you can find the actual disc version. But they were making an Intellivision Lives version for the DS, and in fact, it's actually done. The Blue Sky Rangers, which was the programming group that made Intellivision Lives, they were actually working. They had the DS version done, and they're looking for a publisher, and nobody wanted to publish it. Crave, I think, published the Intellivision Lives for the Xbox, and I don't think it sold well enough for them to want to release a DS version. But really, the DS version of the game would probably be the most faithful because they basically put the keypad on the bottom screen, and so you can actually use the actual keypad with the actual inserts, and the game itself is on the top screen. But unfortunately, that one's not going to come out, I don't think, because nobody's... I mean, I saw the game playing on a DS 3 years ago, and it still doesn't have a publisher today. So I don't think it's coming out, unfortunately. So that's it. That's all I'm going to inflict on you guys this week. Coming up next, here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, giving their talk on games for much longer than we talk. And usually we give them a call right before they go on to see what's going on. And now we're going to check to see if they're there. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we are, Bobby. How are you doing?
I am doing good. So have you been playing the Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection?
Actually, yes. Both Dark Soccer and myself have been playing the hell out of it. We were going to be reviewing it on our own show tonight, but you beat us to the punch a little bit.
So
I don't know about Loki, though. Loki, have you been playing the Sonic Ultimate Mega Genesis Super Duper
No, it looks
upgrade
cool,
collection?
But no.
Fantasy Zone. Space Harrier.
Wait, just out of curiosity, Bobby, I know when I bought the collection, there was like, obviously Jamie, the first thing she does is she has to go unlock Fantasy Zone by playing that horrible flicky game.
I made Dan do it.
Wasn't that a game from like the 1980s
yes.
that they remade for the Genesis? I don't know. But okay, so everybody had like their one thing, and I went right after Altered Beast Arcade because I dropped so many quarters in that when I used to attend classes at this community college. They had one in the cafeteria area. I used to play that game all the time. What, Bobby, what was the thing you had to have in that collection?
I never had the Fantasy Stars. So that was pretty much what I really wanted it for.
And then they really screwed you with the unlock, didn't they?
Yes. And so now I can't unlock the first one until I get a friend over here.
You don't need a friend.
You don't?
No. And this is how Dan did it, right? You just go into the co-op mode, because Knuckles will always catch up with you. Tails.
Okay.
Well, I'll catch up with you. You just go into the two-player mode.
All right.
Was this like when you get to the boss, you hit the boss with Sonic once and then switch the controllers or something? And then
that's what Dan did.
Something. There's a way you can sneak around it somehow.
Tails always catch up with you. So you can just leave his ass behind.
Then I'll try that. I'll leave my friends behind. I don't need them.
You just use them when you need them.
Yeah. It might work for you. But I got to be honest, Phantasy Star, especially the first one, is kind of one of those games that's better left in my memory, I think, than it does when you go back and play it now.
Well, you know what our big problem was? That we actually have most of these games on Genesis. We have all of them. We don't have Flicky. We do not have Flicky for a reason.
Well, there's a reason. Do you even have Sonic 3D Blast?
Yes.
Bobby was poking fun at that earlier. I don't know if
it
you
does
heard.
Suck.
It does. It sucks.
Yeah, we've got it on Saturn.
All right. Sorry.
So, yeah, but no, I mean, I gave it an A in my little rating scale. It would have gotten an A+ if it had Xbox Live.
I don't know if I'd give it an A, but I'd give it like an A-, B+. Because I just think the thing with Sega is that they've tried, or they haven't tried, they've gotten us to buy their repackaged games so many times now that I think really trying to sell this game was about enhancing it for this platform, this generation. And so granted, I'm not denying the value.
How do they look? I should ask if...
The value is amazing. The look isn't bad. I mean, the smoothing thing is a little simple.
Well, I'm not talking about like, does it actually do it without the smoothing as well? Or?
Oh, yeah, you can do it either way.
If default is without it.
Smoothing.
You say there was a problem with the music emulation?
But
Dan's here tonight, so...
I don't remember anything, at least I don't remember catching anything with the music. In fact, some of it sounded better. Some weird sounds in Shinobi. But the only thing that I was a little disappointed in was the fact that there was nothing using the internet or Xbox Live or PlayStation Network.
Right.
Not even just the whole two-player, but not even leaderboards.
It's authentic, Rob. Authentic.
But they added smoothing and they added 16:9 and all this stuff, you know. And granted, it's not like they actually went into the ROMs, you know, like you were saying, Bobby, and hard-coded the 16:9. It's ghetto 16:9, you know. But some games look fine with it. Like, if you turn the smoothing on and play Sonic Spinball in 16:9, you don't even know the difference. I don't notice it at all. But I would have liked to see a little more, like at least like leaderboards, multiplayer, something to really value me buying. What essentially is a lot of these games, again, and when they just released Sonic the Hedgehog on Xbox Live Arcade not that long ago, to me, that's almost a non-game I got out of this collection. You know, but granted, there's 48 others to offset it, so it's not like I have a lot of room to complain. But, you know, it's kind of like justify it just a little more for me. But otherwise, it's a great collection. It really is.
And I got it for $25. Fry's has it for $25 for the next couple days, at least here.
Lucky you. I, I shelled out $30, and I had to get PS3. When I went to get it, they were out on the 360.
Oh, wow.
And I decided, what the hey, the controller's going to be a little better on PlayStation 3 for these classic games. And, you know, whatever, trophies, I guess, instead of achievements. Although it's interesting because, you know, trophies, they work a little different than achievements. And so it's interesting to see what they gave silver and gold status to. Versus bronze. There's not a lot, but some of the, like, I got a gold trophy for getting 10 million points in Sonic Spinball Stage 1, which is pretty much beat the level, and you can get 10 million points easy.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting how they chose to assign some things.
And let me guess, the platinum trophy was talk to another dolphin and echo the dolphin.
No, the platinum trophy is simply get all the other trophies. Just like
realize that you've played these games before. It's like,
just like I think Little Big Planet. But see, what I need to do now is I need to trade with another achievement whore, like Loki, if he ever gets this game, or Jamie. What we need to do is we need to trade so I can get the 360 achievements now, and they can get the PS3 trophies.
I don't think I'd play through them again just to get trophies or achievements after already getting them.
You don't have to play very far in a lot of them. Yeah. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah, to do the play it all achievement, let the Sega screen load and then leave game. Leave game.
Yeah, I did that, but I actually, because I hadn't played a lot of the games because I wasn't a big Genesis kid, I had my Genesis for the Sega CD, and I really didn't play that many Genesis stuff, so I did actually want to go through and like play a level in each game and die.
Well, I was still somewhat intoxicated because, you know, last night was Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I actually sat around and ate 200 fish in Echo 2.
Oh,
yeah,
that's what
I'm yet to do that.
It's really easy because you just keep going back and forth and poking fish with your nose.
Yeah.
But just so you guys know, it is pretty much the same on the PlayStation 3. Pretty much any low gamer score achievement on 360 is like a bronze trophy on PS3. And I think the only addition is that platinum trophy, although maybe there's an achievement on 360. I didn't look carefully
and still
enough.
No trophy rooms in home. What the hell, Sony? What the hell?
You know, it's not something I'm dying to wait for. It's
yeah,
okay.
I haven't visited home in a while, and probably next time I visit home, my actual costume will be relevant again.
Do the trophies have names?
Yeah, trophies. Well, they're just like the 360 achievements. You see the little title and all that stuff.
Because the achievements have some really clever names.
Yeah,
like blast processing.
Yeah, that's in there.
System.
Blast processing is like a silver or gold trophy.
The PlayStation ones are named Steve and John and Carl.
No. And Bobby.
Hey.
So, hey, as you can tell, Dan is back on the show tonight. He had so much fun on the show last week. He's here again to bring us his input. And
our internet's broken at home.
Yeah, so we've had some storms out here in California. It's actually a miracle we're up and running here at OLR headquarters. However, I will say, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but I think we have a live treat after the show, something we're going to do on Justin TV tonight.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yes. I guess that's all I'll say. So stay tuned on allgames.com.
Now, do I have to start adding Dan to be one of the hosts on allgames.com now? Like, is it now a four-person show?
I don't think Jamie would ever let that happen.
No.
But for now, he's a special contributor.
All right.
Or something like that. So,
he won't do it because I'm better than she is at everything.
I am so glad I'm in Atlanta and not in Sacramento right now.
I'm really, really going to enjoy being a widow.
By the way, you can watch it all go down on Justin TV as well, where the camera's
all her achievement unlocks last night.
All, right.
All of them. Especially on Sonic.
Bobby, hang up. Seriously. Go while you can. Run.
Orange Lounge Radio's up next. See you guys. And I hung up on them. So that's it for us. We will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. You can join us live and interact with the show directly and hear things like that. Also, Friday night is Friday Night Gaming, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We might actually be playing Street Fighter 4 online, but I don't know which version, and I don't know what we're going to be doing with that, if there's going to be a tournament or anything. But Street Fighter 4 is coming out. That's probably what we're going to be playing. We played Left 4 Dead this past week. Talking about Friday the 13th, so go check that out over at fnglive.net. Feel free to leave us a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can join our official forums at allgames.com and take part in our community. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our chatters. Thank you all for coming out tonight. Chrisville 1724 DC Nate, GK128 Hendrix, Tedekin, the Rob D, Burr, Channel Z, D5T, ESWAT, which is actually the name of a game on Sega's Ultimate Genesis Collection, by the way. Funnydale, Kitsune, Maximilian, Refi, Shadows Lara, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wyland, Actef, Aki Ripper, Alpha Box, Alt, Amesatsuma, Angsty, Alpha Cananagram, Ash Fox, Bacon Bits, Bauer CTU, Binary 667, Blade 3, Bloms, Bochikawa, Boxy, Cedabria, D5T, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, DRP223, Game Guru, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Havoc979, he's trying to throw me for a loop there, Hitstun, Interlogic, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kazoom, Kulex, Melted General, Misty, MXT, New Shiny CD, Orali, Pandalicious, Punchy, Roadkill1114, Shadow Next Gen, Shironen8, Squaggle, SSJ100, Matt, Subzy, Sully907, TDB30, TM95, True, Unfolded Raptor, Valerno, Visid, VXJSONXV, Warham, WhatUpG, Wilcon, Xlink, and Zappy. So that's it. And, you know, hey, on FNG, I think they fried a PSP live on the air, but we didn't actually see it. Yeah, you can check that out, FNGLive.net. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Tonight, we give our impressions on Street Fighter IV, Retro Game Challenge, Nobi Nobi Boy, and Flower, and we have a definitive answer on when Earthbound is coming to the virtual console. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of February 22nd, 2009. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this net. And
it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm, that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
Everybody in chat spoiling the story. You're supposed to wait. It's supposed to be suspenseful. Don't give the answer in the beginning. Hello, everybody. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us here live on All Games Radio, I want to welcome you. Head on over to our chat room. Chat.allgames.com is where I will be reading comments from chat throughout the night, intelligent comments. Feel free to leave a comment. A little bit later on, we are going to be opening up our phone lines and our toll-free number. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, and our toll-free number in North America is 1-866-880-0156. Or if you're listening to us in the podcast feed, you can leave me a voicemail, or blackwolf@allgames.com is my email address. So we're going to spend most of the time actually talking about games that have come out. This is a little bit different from what we usually do here on the show. We are going to, you know, discuss one thing, but, you know, I want to talk about some games that I've been playing that have come out in the past couple weeks. Finally had the chance to play some games and get a headache from one of them. I have not been feeling well this week, and I fully blame one of these games for that. The first game is Street Fighter IV. Now, ironically, this is not the game that gave me a headache, although this game frustrated me to no end. Street Fighter IV came out this week for the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. I got the PS3 version because, you know what, the D-pad's better. So I've been playing it, and, you know, I've been asking people, and they've been like, no, you're right, they said this. Capcom initially said that Street Fighter IV was going to be, quote-unquote, more accessible to, you know, players who aren't used to the genre. And, you know, I do understand that Street Fighter IV, or that the Street Fighter series is not an easy series, and I'm not saying that they need to dumb down the series. You know, Street Fighter has always been a difficult game to be able to do well in. You know, it's all combo based and you know, counterattacks and technical stuff, and you know, that's perfect, that's awesome. However, that being said, when you go into the arcade mode, of Street Fighter 4. And it gives you difficulty levels. It starts you on medium. That's like the middle. You hit left once and it says easy. Then you hit left again and it says very easy. And then if you hit left again, it says easiest. So to me, when I see that, easiest level in arcade mode should mean insulting to people who know to be insulted. That's my definition of easiest. It should be next to impossible to lose unless you're just a blithering idiot. And apparently I am a blithering idiot, because even on easiest mode, in arcade mode, I'm dying about 10 times in arcade mode. And that's using Ryu, which is like the noobish of the noob characters. Yeah. It is not more accessible. If it was, easiest would be insulting, and it's not. Now, granted, most of those deaths were on Seth, who is the guy that looks like the guy in The Watchmen, Dr. Manhattan. He's the guy at the end. He has everybody's soul, so he does every, you know, classic has everybody's moveset person. And, you know, I can't beat his second form at all on easiest. You know, I can beat him the first time, but the second time I can't beat him. So I actually have to cheat and put it on one round kills, which means that, you know, now if I don't do good on the first match, then I got to do the continue and everything. I mean, luckily I can still unlock the characters that way. No trophies or achievements, but I wasn't doing it for the trophies or the achievements. I was doing it to get the characters unlocked. Now, apparently, from what I was told by somebody else, who's another All Games Radio host, Alon from Chatterbox, who is actually Chatterbox Video Game Radio, ChatterboxGameShow.com. Alon is a fighting game person. Or at least he played it a lot in the arcades. I did not play Street Fighter a lot in the arcades because I did not spend money to get owned. I did not see the financial value in putting in quarters into a machine only to have somebody coming up next to me and kicking my ass, or having the computer kick my ass. And that was not financially responsible of me, and that's why I did not play Street Fighter much in the arcades. But he said that when Capcom said it was going to be more accessible, all it meant was that they were actually going to put the move list in the pause menu. And that's what they did. And you can actually open it up, and it looks like a Madden playbook, you know, with circles and Zs and feet and hands, feet and fists. And then there you go. And then you have to try to figure it out from there. There is a nice little the challenge mode in it. There's a challenge mode where it will actually go through like the training mode, but it will show you exactly how, you know, or what the buttons, and it puts it on the screen, what buttons you need to press to do that certain thing. And Dan is very nice and stands there and just does nothing. So that is a good mode. However, it lacks one thing that I think I got used to from my button mashing days. And that's, I think Soul Calibur does this, where you could actually ask it to do the move for you. It will actually show you the exact timing that it uses, and it shows you the animation of the move. So you can see what it looks like and try to replicate it. They don't do that here. They just give you, you know, circle, circle, fist. And, you know, good luck. Good luck trying to figure that out. So it was pretty hard for me to try to figure out how to do some of the ultras and the supers and stuff. I did eventually figure it out, thankfully, on Friday Night Gaming. Some people gave me some advice, and it worked. I was actually able to do some more of the moves after being told what that series of red circles meant. But I needed that. And I did play online against Sully907 in our chat room. He's in our chat room. He was very happy to be able to play a PS3 game against me. And he won most of the time. And this is where I kind of got a little frustrated with it as well, and it's because my hands aren't used to it. And so I don't fault the game for this. I fault me not playing Street Fighter in the 90s. I did not much button mash through it. You know, I am actually blocking, and I am actually trying to time things, and I am trying to watch where he's going and see what I could do. Unfortunately, the character on screen actually doesn't do what I'm intending, and then that gets me killed. You know, I'm trying to throw the fireball, and I wind up doing the big uppercut, and then that means that I land right into what he was going to do to me. And so I did win 2 out of 10 over Sully, but still, it was kind of frustrating because I'm not button mashing. You know, I am actually knowing kind of what I'm trying to do, and it's just not doing what I was trying to do. And it's not that I can't do the move. I mean, the Hadouken's one of the easiest ones to do. But I kept doing the friggin' uppercut instead because I guess it was just not registering correctly in the heat of battle. And yeah, I was a little frustrated. But, I mean, more accessible, I'd dispute that claim. It is a very pretty game. I do like the visuals. I do like, I really like the way it looks. It's a very pretty game. So I do have chat, chat.allgames.com in here. Sully907, trying to give me an ego boost, says he is being too hard on himself. He was doing quite okay against me last night despite having a huge disadvantage in experience. Game Guru says that he is also a blithering idiot. No comment. Game Guru also says, I should probably stick to Smash Brothers. I'm not that great in Smash Brothers either. Bochikawa says, this is what he heard on Friday Night Gaming. That's right, my Friday Night show. But really, Street Fighter IV was a nod to old-school Street Fighter fans, from what I understand. The reason I'm kind of repeating it here is because Friday Night Gaming is a horrible audio podcast, so I don't think everybody that listens to this show actually listens to that show. So I want them to hear my rant. Except on Friday Night Gaming, the rant was 3 hours long. Sully907 clarifies, he says, being totally new to the game, Black Wolf did well. He's being too harsh on himself in the game, I think. That said, it could use a tutorial mode. It does, and that's the challenge mode. The challenge mode is really neat because it shows you like their specific moves, and then it'll show you, you know, let you do the super and the ultra. And then it also shows you about the combo, the canceling moves, and the combo moves where you have to interrupt your own animation to do something else. It actually walks you through that and shows you all the button presses, and you can actually do them in that challenge mode. So that's really good. It's just, you know, if you can't do one of them, like if you can't figure it out, you can't skip it and go to the next one. You have to get them all. And so I'm actually stuck on a few characters because I just can't do what they're saying. You know, I guess it was like you have to charge down and left, and then you make another motion which goes down from the top right down to the bottom left and then down to the across to the bottom right while hitting a punch key. That one I actually can't do, and I actually sat there for like 10 minutes in that challenge mode trying to replicate that, and I can't because I'm a blithering idiot. Tiger Claw says, you know what? It's hard to play against someone online when you don't have all the characters unlocked, and they can choose them while you can't. What Capcom should have done is had the option for the other player who doesn't have the unlocks to be able to choose the unlocked characters that the other players have unlocked only on online multiplayer. And you know what? That would probably make sense in another game, but in Street Fighter's defense, you really can't jump into a character that you've never like played around with in tutorial mode and expect to have any kind of chance. Sully learned that. The two times that I beat Sully on PlayStation, on our PS3 game the other night, was when he chose characters he had not gone into the tutorial mode with. So he was trying to learn the characters, and while he was learning the characters, I was actually able to kick his ass. Very thoroughly, might I add. But it wouldn't do you much good if you've never looked at Akuma in tutorial mode to be able to play as Akuma, because you'd probably get your ass kicked because you wouldn't know what to do with it. So I don't see that as a bad thing. Just go unlock the characters yourself. Just get on easiest, spam high kick, and do one round, and you still won't be able to unlock them all, but it's a good try. Hitstun says, Hitstun, he's a fighting game fan, can you tell? It's not that way. It's charge, down, back, then down, forward, down, back, up, forward, attack. So maybe I should try that. Maybe I was just dyslexic and looking at the arrow the wrong way. But anyway, Street Fighter IV, we've already spent 10 minutes talking about it. Street Fighter IV, for fans of fighting games, I would actually, you know, I mean, this one was very competitive when we were running it at the computer arena. We had 20 people in the tournament. I mean, for fans of fighting games, I'd say that I would assume that this would be, you know, an A or a B. It's not, if you've not played fighting games, if you've not played Street Fighter before, you're going to have a tough time with this, so it would probably be a C. So I'm just going to average them and give it a B. That's my grade for Street Fighter 4. It's not as accessible as, say, a Soul Calibur or a Dead or Alive. You can't button mash, but even if you don't button mash, it's going to take some time to try to get the timing down correct to get some of these moves, to get the moves and be able to do them when you want to do them. And it's very combo based, and it's a very, very cerebral game, it seems. Let's see. Game Guru says, really what they meant by accessible was that it had polygons instead of sprites. And Hitstun says, actually, what they meant is that newbies can press two buttons together and make something cool happen. Yeah, the focus attacks were two buttons, and that you can actually hit two buttons and have a more powerful fireball that goes through the other guy's fireball and everything. So, once I figured out the motion of doing the moves, they are actually kind of easy to pull off. It's stringing them together and getting the right combo. That's what's going to take a while for people. Anyway, Street Fighter IV, we're done talking about that. Retro Game Challenge. We actually had a call about this last week, and I picked it up. I found a copy this week. It was hiding in the back of the store I was in, so I was able to pick up a copy. And this is almost as frustrating as Street Fighter IV, but not really. Retro Game Challenge, it's a DS game. Essentially, the storyline of it is that you are sent back in time by this kid who was emo. He was emo in the 80s and now has grown up to be a very vindictive person who used to be emo, and he sends you back in time to the 80s to his former self. And in order to get back, you must complete challenges in these retro games. And this is based off of a Japanese TV show. I think Game Master CX, I think, is the name of the Japanese TV show. It's in the instruction manual. It even says, coming soon to the U.S. ? As Retro Game Challenge. So we may actually be seeing it here. But essentially, this game is a recreation of a bunch of retro game types of games. Essentially, there are 8 games, but really there's only about 4 or something like that. There's 6 games because there's only about 4. Like, one of the game has 2 sequels, and then one game has like a special edition, limited edition. So 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, I don't know. 7 or 8. I don't know. But basically, you've got your Galaga type shooter, and basically what they say, the first challenge is beat level 1, which is pretty easy or whatever. And then the challenges get not progressively harder, but more get farther in the game is basically what these challenges are. And they do give you some leeway on how to complete them if you are having trouble. There are continue codes, there are cheat codes, and you're allowed to use the cheat code. So if you really get frustrated at the driving game, you can actually turn off all of the other cars and then make yourself invincible, and then you can actually get through the driving games without having to be frustrated all the time. So they do give you some leeway in terms of continuing the story and continuing the story of the game. So and it's actually kind of interesting. They do work in a lot of the game lexicon of the time. They have these magazines, and actually it was a neat homage. The magazine, which is Game Fan magazine, they actually have like an editor in chief, and they he's got like something at the very end of the the back page of the magazine. He says something, and actually the first one in there, it was called If the Shoe Fits, was the title of the column, and his name was Dan Sock, and it was this Asian dude with short hair that looked very familiar to another editor in chief. So it was kind of neat that some of the influences that they put in there, and some of the stuff that they would say in the magazine, and seeing like the other game names that they made up on their top 5 sales charts and stuff. So but if you're a fan of like retro gameplay, you would actually like this. It's not easy as pie, but it's also not extremely difficult. The real holy grail of this is one of the games is called Guardia Quest, which is basically Dragon Quest. It is a top-down turn-based Japanese RPG just like the early Dragon Quests. And it is hours and hours and hours of gameplay right there. Now, granted, most of that is spent grinding. And actually, that is one of the challenges. You have to grind to level 7 or, get 1,000, whatever their money is called in that. But it's not very deep storyline. You're not saving the world. You're just trying to save the princess. But it's well made for being a very short, game within a game. And I probably spent 6 or 7 hours alone in that game to defeat the boss, the boss in the middle that you have to beat to do the final challenge. So that's really kind of the big part of the game. And the game is only $30, but that game right there is probably worth half of it. And then You know, the other side scrollers and shooters and stuff are not badly made either. It's not. It's definitely not a throwaway title. So I do recommend it if you can find it. Retro Game Challenge. I give it an A for a DS game. I mean, it's a really enjoyable DS game. It does not use the stylus at all. So if you're one of those people that hates all the gimmicky stuff on the DS, it doesn't use any of the gimmicky stuff on the DS. I mean, it uses the two screens. You play on the top screen, and but you can actually you can write notes. So you can use the stylus. You can actually write notes and stuff and have it be on the bottom screen, or you can have like a magazine page with the cheat codes up. But it uses the buttons. I mean, it's a retro game. Retro game feel. It doesn't use the gimmicks, doesn't use any of the microphone or anything like that. So it's very worthwhile if you're into that stuff. If you're into space shooters, they've got a Galaga type and a Star Soldier type, and then they've got a side-scrolling platformer that's like Shinobi is kind of what it reminds me of right now. And it's got earlier versions, which are basically based off of a Japanese game that never made it to America. And then it's got a game that's kind of like RC Pro-Am, but controls worse. And then it's got Guardia Quest. So it's actually really good. I'd recommend it if you're into it. Hitstun says, imagine what the Famicom would be like in Japan if they required you to use the controller's microphone as a gimmick in every game. It doesn't use the DS's gimmick. So let's talk about some games that came out on the PlayStation Network real quick. The first game I'm going to talk about is Nobi Nobi Boy. Now, remember when I said at the beginning of the show I got a headache? This is the game that gave me the headache. Now, first things first, this is a game by Keita Takahashi, who is best known and pretty much only known, really, for creating Katamari Damacy, which is probably one of my favorite games of all time. Probably is still my favorite game of all time right now. And I loved the simplicity. I loved basically everything about Katamari Damacy. And we love Katamari, the sequel. Didn't like the PSP Katamari as much, just because it was very hard to control, no second D-pad. And Beautiful Katamari was good. I mean, I didn't mind it, but I didn't want to pay $10 for more stuff that was already on the disc, so I didn't like their DLC plan on that. But Nobi Nobi Boy, everybody says, oh, it's not a game. Yes, it's a game. Here's the thing. You know, Keita Takahashi has gone on record saying he doesn't want to design games anymore. He wants to make playgrounds for kids. He wants to design playgrounds. And that's exactly what he tried to do with Nobi Nobi Boy, where this is a playground. Essentially, Nobi Nobi is a boy who is a worm. And he has front legs and back legs. And he can stretch. And basically what you do is you go around eating things. And it doesn't tell you how to eat things either. Like, even in the manual, it doesn't tell you how to eat things. By the way, you hit the L2 button and he eats things. And then as you eat things, you can get longer. And the object of the game, as much as people say that there is no object of the game, the object of the game is to get as long as you can, and it doesn't have to be all at once, it's just, you know, cumulative. If you get really long and then shrink and then get long again, that counts as two times. To get the Nobi Nobi girl, who is this long worm in space, long enough to reach the moon and other planets. Now, you don't have to do this alone. This is all on the PlayStation Network. So actually, everybody in the world is contributing to this length of this girl. And I think she's probably going to hit the moon pretty soon, because earlier today she was like 320 million meters long. And I think the moon is 350 million meters away. So I think the moon is now open. But basically, you go around these little things, it's like towns, like little levels, procedurally generated levels, so they're not actually created or designed. It's designed by the computer at runtime. And you go around eating things and getting longer and falling off the stage, because the stage is very, very tiny. You fall off the stage, and then you can get cut in half, so you have to eat yourself. And no, I'm not kidding. You actually do have to eat your butt to get put back together so you can continue playing the game. I think this is what happened when Keita Takahashi realized that there were more than two analog sticks on a controller. Because the way you control the camera is just all wrong. I mean, I understand that, you know, you're using the both analog sticks to control each half. But, you know, to zoom out, you actually have to hold down the L1 button and use the 6-axis to zoom out. And then, but if you want to look left or right, you have to hit L1 or R1 and it goes like a fixed distance. You don't actually have real control. And then they don't even tell you that if you hit L1 and R1 at the same time, you can actually adjust, or it will change the angle. So you could be top down, or at one time what happened to me was I was actually looking up through the level, which turned it into wireframe. So I was actually seeing wireframe everywhere. And the graphics aren't that intensive. I mean, the graphics look like a PS1 game, really. I mean, it's just really, it's bold shapes, you know, spheres, and, you know, it's kind of like Katamari Damacy, which I didn't have a problem with. But, you know, it's not, you know, going to be showing off the power of the PlayStation 3 by any means. But everybody says it's a toy, it's a playground, it's not a game. No, it's a game. If it was not a game, it wouldn't have a goal, it wouldn't have leaderboards, and it probably would have better controls. But so maybe it is, because it has very poor controls. I wanted to like this game. I thought this was going to be, you know, great on the scale of Katamari Damacy, and I don't see it. Other people see it as brilliant, and I just don't see how it's brilliant. I was looking around, and people are saying that this is probably the most brilliant game ever created. I don't see it. Binary667 says, the camera control is bad, but everything else is great. Absolutely relaxing. Yes, it's very relaxing when you can't see what you're doing, because every time you move your back end, the camera focuses on the center of your worm when you're already like 200 meters long, so you actually can't see what you're doing to be able to eat more things to get longer. Very relaxing. I completely disagree with you. Wyland says, GK120 just cast the BA Jaded Gamer spell on Bobby. I am. This is one. Yeah. I would be jaded on this one. Maybe I can fill in for GK128 and do a Jaded Gamer segment on this. Binary667 says, brilliant? No. A great time waster? Yes. Yes, it's a great time waster when you're very long and you can't zoom, you know, yeah. Yeah, see, oh, that's also the thing. If you hold down the L1 button and you have to use the D-pad, you can actually refocus where the camera's focused on. So you can actually focus on your head until you move the back part of your body. Then it refocuses on the center of your worm, wherever it is, which it could be. And the stages are very small. So you can fall off the edge of the stage and wrap around the stage and stuff. It's floating in midair. I don't get it. You know, I mean, Katamari Damacy was weird, but you could convince yourself that it made sense somehow. You can't do that with Nobi Nobi Boy. I'm sorry. I give Nobi Nobi Boy a D. I'm sorry. Billy OK says, try to review this game in 200 words. Just try. I can't do it. Here's my review in 200 words or less. Don't bother. Hey, look, two words. So just multiply that by 100, and there you go. You have your 200-word. Amei Satsuma says, PS Fanboy, send all letters to blackwolf@allgames.com. That's right. Well, let's talk about Flower, then. In terms of PlayStation Network games, Flower, done by Santa Monica Studio, that game company. They were also the ones behind Santa Monica Studios was done. The people behind Flow, Flower, get it? And Flower is really beautiful. Now, where Nobi Nobi Boy, I say, is a game because it has goals and leaderboards and all that stuff, Flower is the brilliant, you know, the brilliant time waster that everybody's calling Nobi Nobi Boy. Flower, basically, what you are doing is the control scheme is actually a lot like Flow, except instead of being a microorganism eating other organisms, you are a flower getting other petals, flower petals, to join you in a fun romp through the grassy valleys of Earth. And it's very beautiful. And it's basically you're just floating around hitting other flowers. And it has a little bit more direction than Flow did, so it's not as much of an interactive screensaver as Flow is. This one, you know, you actually kind of do have a goal. It's there are levels that you go through. And it guides you through with clever use of camera angles to where you should be going next. But if you don't want to go there, you can just fly around. And basically, you just use the six axis, and you hold down any button to be the wind, and you use the six axis to steer, and you get this long trail of flowers, of flower petals. Now, some people want to compare this to Snake, you know, the game that's on everybody's cell phone since 1990-something. But it's not like Snake, because if you hit yourself, you don't, nothing happens. So it's not like Snake and anything. It's a relaxing game and stuff. And so I really do like Flower. It may be a little bit too artsy for some people. You know, probably same for Nobi Nobi Boy, but it probably could be a little bit too artsy for some people. You know, people should try it out. I really wish there was a demo for Flower. I wish there was a demo for Nobi Nobi Boy, too, because then I wouldn't have bought it. But, you know, Flower, I think people should try it out. It's $10. It's not $5 like Nobi Nobi Boy. But I think it's a very good artsy game that kind of does something different. It's something different, and it actually does it well. You know, kudos to Sony for giving a platform for some of these games. So, you know, on the PlayStation Network. So Flower, I give an A to it. I'm very extreme here. A, D, A, yeah, whatever. So pick up Flower. I do really like Flower. So one quick news story, and I was actually going to spend more time on it, but we spent a lot of time talking about games that are out. I want to talk about a game that's not coming out. That's right. I said in the beginning that we have a definitive answer on when Earthbound, one of probably my favorite Super Nintendo game, or probably number two. It's right behind Chrono Trigger. But, you know, Earthbound on the Super Nintendo, one of my favorite RPGs, just, you know, second only to Chrono Trigger, really great. And, you know, there's been a push because Earthbound is really the second in the Mother series. There's Mother 1 and then Mother 3, which came out in Japan for the Game Boy Advance. And there's a diehard community that has been waiting for Earthbound to hit the virtual console so everybody could buy it and show Nintendo that there is actually a financial demand, a fiscal demand for Mother 3 for them to bring it to the U.S. Well, Starman.net, the people that have been behind it, finally released the sad story of Earthbound on the virtual console. It's not coming, basically. Nintendo of America's legal team was the beginning of the end for Earthbound, that they write. They were demanding to change the game, and while, you know, they won't say specifics, it's safe to assume they were uncomfortable with the game's constant pop culture references. Earthbound's soundtrack in particular references, samples, mimics every band under the sun, and hearing that a game is constantly referencing bands like the Beatles is enough to make any IP lawyer wring his hands. And, you know, obviously sampling and stuff is not enough to bring up a lawsuit, but that's not going to stop anybody from trying. And even though Nintendo would probably win in court, it would be quite costly. And a lot of people are suing Nintendo right now for, you know, there's probably like six or seven companies that say they patented the Wii. So Nintendo is being very guarded about it. And so they wanted a whole bunch of things changed. Now, this is not anything new in the virtual console. Star Tropics had some of its stuff changed because the first item you get in there is a yo-yo. And yo-yo is a copywritten term by that company that owns the yo-yo, so they had to change it to Star. And, I mean, you know, in some Nintendo 64 games, well, I think it was 1080 Snowboarding, they actually removed some of the ads and put in Wii graphics in there. So they do go in and edit the ROMs. Unfortunately, Nintendo, or NCL, the company that owns Earthbound, was not playing ball. They would not change the game. Which to me, I mean, unfortunately, this, you know, I may take the unpopular opinion here. I'm on NCL's side on this. The thing that the charm about Earthbound was all of the pop culture references going on in it. And, you know, it's like, you know, everything was, you could see little things in everything. And they already had to change Earthbound a whole hell of a lot. There's actually a really great page on EarthboundCentral.com. That shows, you know, like how they had complete Blues Brothers ripoff in the Japanese version that they had to change it in the U.S. version. Also, that they had the Red Cross symbol on the hospital in the Japanese version, and they had to take that out of the U.S. version. There was also Grateful Dead Valley was changed to Peaceful Rest Valley, and there was also something called a Skywalker, and they had to change it to a Skyrunner because they didn't want to, you know, incur Lucas's wrath. And then there was like a soda truck that kind of drives around. It actually looked a lot like the Coke logo. It was even called Come. C-O-M-E. Go figure. But basically, the thing that they were kind of worried most about was the music. And actually, I'm going to play some of these not too long. But there are actually some songs in here from the game that do kind of rip off, you know, other songs. This is the dungeon when the Dungeon Man is in your party. This song is playing, which is very much like this song. Give it a second. That's Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Club, Lonely Hearts Club Band, the reprise from the Beatles. You don't want to piss off the Beatles. Let's see. This is when you're starting a new game, and there's a sample back there that you can hear. And if you want to know what that sample is, that is this. Yeah, I don't think Monty Python would like that too much, but that's what that sample is. This is one of the battle themes. I should probably rewind it. So that's one of the battle themes. It's Johnny B. Goode, pretty much like them. This is apparently part of like the Changeling by the Doors, from the band that was supposed to be like the Blues Brothers. So there's let's see. In the Skyrunner, this is actually sounds like a Who song. They're saying it's from Won't Get Fooled Again. So there's a whole bunch of songs in here that are admittedly homages to other pop culture references. And that was some of the charm of Earthbound, going through and seeing these pop culture references, hearing something and say, man, where have I heard that before? And it was actually, it's because it's a song that you've probably heard on the radio that they just kind of changed just a little bit. And, you know, none of these, Nintendo wouldn't lose a lawsuit, but they would have to spend a lot of money defending it. And they probably can't be doing that right now. So that's why you're not going to see Earthbound on the Virtual Console. And you're not going to see Mother 3 come to the U.S. either. And, you know, people are asking, you know, why don't they have a problem with this in Japan? Because Japan doesn't have litigious RIA over there all the time. So it sucks, but you know what? I'm glad that they're kind of standing their ground, because if you want to play Earthbound, you could spend several hundred dollars, or there are nefarious ways for you to experience Earthbound in its original glory. Although you got to make sure you get the right one, because they did actually put anti-piracy devices in the cartridge. It's actually kind of interesting the way that they handle piracy in the cartridge. So you have to find a good enough ROM to that circumvents all that stuff. And there's several things they do. They delete your game save right before the final boss. It's awesome. I wish that you know, the lawyers would kind of step back a little bit, but I can kind of understand in this legal client. Funnydale says, Nintendo is $30 billion in the bank. They're also getting sued. I think there's like 6 lawsuits open against Nintendo right now. Let's see. Nintendo sued for the DS touchscreen. Nintendo loses the controller-related lawsuit. Nintendo sued over the Wii straps twice. Class action suit because of ill effects of Wii games. And Nintendo sued for music used in Paper Mario commercials. So Nintendo's kind of, you know, their legal team is kind of overworked right now, and so they are probably trying to avoid having a lawsuit at all. So we're going to not take a quick music break, because that was our music. How about that? So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line for you to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. We're going to go straight on through because we spent a lot of time talking, and I apologize for that. So we're not going to take a break, but this is where the break would usually be. So if you tune out before the calls come in, now's the time to tune out. And we'll see you guys next week. But we do have the phones open. You can talk about Street Fighter 4. You could tell me how horrible I am at the game. Or you could tell me how wrong I am about Nobi Nobi Boy, which then you would be wrong. But you could do that. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Dark Soccer says it's $89 on eBay if you want to go get the legit version of Earthbound. I am actually very proud of myself, because I actually bought Earthbound when it first came out. I bought the big box with the strategy guide and all that stuff, and I never traded it in. So I'm very proud of myself. I did not have to go through and try to repurchase what I had already sold, which I had to do sometimes, but Earthbound was not one of those. And, you know, the thing about Earthbound, from what I understand, is that, you know, Nintendo of America does know that, you know, there is a sizable community out there that wants to see Mother 3 and things like that. They know that they exist, and they know that it is a very hot commodity. And, you know, honestly, I mean, Nintendo, it's kind of sad that they know they have this gold mine and don't do anything with it, because I think that, you know, if Nintendo at their last E3 press conference ended with a Mother 3 trailer, we would have, I think the gaming community would have gone nuts, and we wouldn't have said that they've forgotten their fan base. You know, obviously, you know, Kid Icarus probably would have done the same, but Mother 3, actually giving it a trailer and giving it a release date, even if it's a DS port of the Game Boy Advance game, that would have silenced all the Nintendo doesn't care about hardcore gamers. That would have silenced them. GK128, the jaded gamer on Super Happy Funtime Show, says, Nobi Nobi Boy equals meh. I miss the rant, but I agree. Don't get it. Game Guru disagrees with me on Earthbound, says, no, they would have said about damn time. But I think that if they had, if Nintendo had actually released, you know, shown Mother 3, that probably would have satisfied everybody saying, you know, that they didn't have anything for the core gamer. Funny Dale says, Nintendo said, sorry, fanboys, we can't release Mother 3. We're too busy making Wii Horse. And Havoc978 says he'd buy Wii Horse. What Up G says, all Nintendo has to do is release a game called Wii Something and pack in some type of peripheral. So here's what they need to do. Wii Mother. And it would be Mother 3 with a peripheral that is... I got nothing. But yeah, just put Wii in front of it. Or Mother Wii, maybe, instead of Mother 3. Mother Wii. Tiger Claw says, if Mother 3 doesn't get released in the U.S., that isn't going to stop those who want to import it. And it hasn't. But here's the thing. It's kind of like the language it's written in is gobbledygook. I mean, Japanese, excuse me. I really shouldn't be that insulting to them. No, it's in Japanese. There is a translation project that is actually only recently finished where you can take your legitly burned copy of the ROM from the import that you have and put in a full English translation. And Nintendo even knows that this is occurring and has been asking them, hey, are you guys done yet? We'd like to take a look at it. And I believe that the translation project is actually completed. Game Guru says, Earthbound Wii, it will sell enough to pay the lawyer fees. Here's the thing. Nintendo wants to keep that money instead of paying lawyers. They actually, I mean, like, the whole point of the company, the whole point of releasing a game is so the company can keep the profit and not have to pay lawyers. It's like the whole point. So I'm going to go ahead and close up the phone lines. We did not get any calls, so I'm going to go ahead and check in what we have going on next here. Next up is Orange Lounge Radio here on All Games Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento talking about games and probably talking about some of the same games we were talking about. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Yes, we are, and yes, we probably are talking about some of the same games tonight, Bobby.
So you know, you guys answered my call. Nobody else wanted to answer my calls tonight or even call in. So how are you guys?
You had no calls tonight? I have to be honest, we had to tune you out just when you started going to calls just because we were trying to set some things up with our live camera on our end, mm-hmm. So we had to do some sound tests. But you didn't get any calls?
No, no calls. Nobody wanted to talk to me tonight.
Oscars. You have a bunch of closet Oscar fans.
I know. I think so. Even though in chat they're all saying they tried to call. They didn't actually try to call.
Sad. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, we're happy to you know, come on and plug our show as always and talk to you, Bobby, about everything going on in games. And yeah, Street Fighter 4, that's uh-huh. pretty much dominating, I think, most people's weeks. So I've been playing it. I made a last minute decision though to switch. I was originally going to get it for PlayStation 3 because I was like, controls. I want to get this game for PlayStation 3, but then I finally said, screw it. I'm going to get it on 360 because I just know more people on there, and how bad can the controls possibly be? And I have to be honest, it isn't that bad. Mm-hmm. It's not great. You know, I would definitely need an arcade stick to do some of those moves. But, like, if you're a Chun-Li player or something where a lot of the moves are back to forth and you don't do a lot of rolling, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to play some of those characters, like when I play Fei Long, I cannot get past that tutorial where you just simply have to do, like, I think a low punch, and then you do the 1-2-3, because I don't know if you know Fei Long, but his moves, one of his combos, you do three fireballs like all in a row, very, very fast.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't do it on that stinking Xbox 360 controller. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got the PS3 controller, and so that kind of helps a little bit, but even some of those moves, I still have to move to a thumbstick anyway and try to kind of hold it like a joystick. And I don't know if that helps if you know if you you know put the controller down and then use the you know hold the thumbstick like it's a joystick, kind of like how Billy Mitchell plays Xbox 360.
I've actually done that before. It feels a little awkward to me, but yeah, you know, I've been able to do some moves successfully with that. But I could not even imagine trying to do like Zangief's 360 degree spin thing with that. So yeah, what a mess.
And you know, what is it? Just me? Am I the only one that thought that you know Capcom said it was going to be more accessible?
Yeah, and I've heard that a lot, and Seth is a real cheap bastard and
yes,
can really
he is.
Annoy the hell out of you on even the easiest mode. You know what, though? I mean, I don't think they want to hand it to people on a silver platter either. I think, you know, and I was thinking, I was like,
they
you know, Ubisoft is if even in easy mode, if I was repeatedly losing to the computer, it would just get a little easier. But then I think you'd have people complaining the game is too easy. So and considering that yeah I never played a lot of Street Fighter 3, maybe a couple times in the arcade. I barely played the Alpha series but a couple of times. You know, this really was the first game I had actually really immersed myself in since Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo. And yeah, I was able to kind of pick it up with most like Chun-Li and stuff. Like you already know the moves. They're all the same from Street Fighter 2. You just have to kind of know some of these newer elements. So in that regard, yeah, it's kind of accessible. Is it accessible for a complete new person to fighting games as opposed to games where you can probably get away with button mashing a little easier like Soul Calibur? Not that I'm saying, you know, Soul Calibur is nothing but button mashing, but you could do pretty decent with button mashing. No, not really.
Yeah, well, I guess my thing is, you know, I can understand easy, you know, being like that, right. And very easy being like that. But when you actually go to the time to create a level called Easiest, and it still kicks your ass, that's not accessible to me.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that, but at the same time, there's got to be some element of difficulty.
No,
and it's like,
not on easiest. That's the whole point of easiest.
Sure.
With EST.
It's the easiest of your options. Don't play hardest. But there's been some games where even easy mode is a pain in the ass. Like, but of course, you got to go all the way back to the 8-bit NES days to get those types of games. But, you know.
Well, that's fine. You know, I don't mind if easy is a pain in the ass if there's a very easy and an easiest. See, that's where I'm getting at.
No, I mean, I understand. It could. I think some of the characters they made even, like, really cheap. It can get very frustrating. I mean, for all of us that have ever had that I-want-to-throw-the-controller-through-the-window syndrome or have thrown a controller through the window syndrome, this game will just exacerbate that to a great extent. I mean, I even got violent the other day almost when I could not beat Seth on easiest. And granted, I've beat him plenty of times with other characters, but for some reason, whenever I try to use Crimson Viper to do it, to try to unlock Cammy, I cannot do it, which is strange because Crimson Viper is one cheap bitch
and
herself.
Sucks.
And well, she's kind of cool. I like her.
I actually have to say, if I'm and Dan's made this observation, I've made this observation. Is it just me or does Seth seem like a Neo like an SNK type boss? Really, and for that matter, Crimson Viper seems like an SNK character.
Crimson Viper is very SNK to me. I don't know what it is. Just even in the design and everything, it's just taken right out of one of the Art of Fighting or
it's like
Fatal
the King
Fury
of
games.
Fighters.
It's for real.
Bochikawa says, Bobby wants a game, just press A and win. Emei Satsuma says, I want a brain dead option. And Xenocore says, I just should just play, you have to burn the rope. And that's more my skill level.
I was just thinking, I'm like, what was that Flash game where you only have to do like one very easy thing and then you get the little reward song? Yeah. That maybe you just need to have to hope they'll put out a sequel to You Have to Burn the Rope.
Yeah. And I guess what frustrates me is that I'm not button mashing. Like, I am actually, I do kind of understand like some of the, you know, things that I should be doing. It's just being able to pull them off in the half second that I have and not hitting the wrong move.
It's hard, and yeah. Online it's a lot of pressure, especially yeah. You know, when you're playing ranked matches and everything and you know your statistics are on the line, it's a lot of pressure, and I find I really suck fighting online. I was able to beat one person. I got really excited. But it's tough. There's some good players out there.
So did you get to try Nobi Nobi Boy?
I did not play Nobi Nobi Boy yet. I think Loki did. I played Flower, and I'm going to talk more about that game
right.
A little later on. By the way, I think Flower can be best described as a racing game. That's what it really felt like to me. Flower is a racing game. with flowers. It's interesting, but I'll expand on that later. Yeah. I don't know, Loki, what did you think of Nobi Nobi Boy? I know you were talking about that a little bit.
It's baby's first tapeworm. Is what it is.
I hate it. Don't buy it.
I already did.
I want
I'm
it.
Sorry. No, you don't.
Awesome. Yes, I do.
You eat people and then you shit them out. And
that's why
oh,
I want
thanks.
It.
Thanks, Loki.
Sorry, whatever. It's...
He used the brown word on the
I
Bobby
want
show.
The that's game what, to that's, eat people.
It's really what it is. I mean, because it teaches you a little bit about bowel control. Because you know, if you try to you know move your back end too much, or you know you clench down, then you know people and objects start flying out of your pooper. So I don't know.
Still,
Bobby,
not
you should
it.
Ask about flour.
I'm afraid to ask about Flower now and hearing about the birds and the bees. So,
I don't think Loki's played Flower.
I haven't played Flower.
I think I'm the only one that played Flower. But I don't know. I mean, there is to an extent some deflowering in Flower in some of the levels, but I guess we won't get into specifics.
So speaking
Bobby,
of... Yeah?
You totally inspired me, though.
Really?
I have to find my copy of Earthbound now.
There you go.
Since that's the only way you're ever going to play it again.
I do have it. Somewhere in the vault.
I still have my Super Nintendo somewhere tucked away, and I never owned Earthbound. One of my friends had it, and I borrowed it from him all the time, but I'm sure you can find it. It probably won't be cheap, but you can probably find it.
Yeah, it's out there in the wild. So what do you guys got coming up next?
Next on our show, we're going to be talking about, of course, some of the same games, but we have some other stuff talking about in gaming. We're going to talk about the new DSi. The release date was just recently announced, along with a game called Rhythm Heaven, which a lot of our longtime listeners, I'm sure, will be very interested in. Being here in California, obviously, we have our eyes on the video game law that just miserably failed. But, hey, at least there's some good news out of California. They finally passed a budget after, like, what was it, 109 days? A new Leisure Suit Larry game, of all things, coming out, which kind of surprised us, because we thought after the last one that series was going to kind of disappear, which is sad in a way when you think back to the old Sierra Leisure Suit Larry games. But, you know, when you see what they did with it recently, it made sense that the game
it
never came back.
It used to be a Sierra Leisure Suit Larry game until, you know, Vinvidi got bought out.
But now it is going to continue after all, which is a little bit of a surprise. And other series continuing. So not all bad news in the gaming world, I don't think. I think tonight might be the first night, and correct me if I'm wrong, Loki, I don't think we have a story about any studios closing or layoffs tonight. I think we actually have some good news tonight in gaming. All right, yeah. Loki's giving me a sandwich. So hopefully some good news for lots of people tonight on Orange Lounge Radio.
Excellent. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you as always, Bobby. Have a good night.
You too. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is where you can find them, or they're right after us here on All Games Radio. That is all that I want to inflict on you guys this week. We'll be back again next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Join us in chat and interact with the show directly and actually call in. Friday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific is Friday Night Gaming. It's a TV show, fnglive.net. Leave us a voicemail or a bumper on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwell Show. Email me, blackwolf@allgames.com. Or hang out on our forums. But we could not make the live show work without the help of our chatters, ChrisPhil1724, DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, the Rob D, Burr, Channel Z, D5T, Derek H, Eswat, Funnydale, Mako, Maximilian, Stone Raider, THK, Tiger Claw, Wyland, ActDef, Ake Ripper, Alpha Box, Alpha Cananagram, Alta Mesa, Tsuma, Analog Outrage, Bacon Bits, Binary 667, Biohaze 20, Bloodshot PC, Bochikawa, Chad 28, Sidabria, Crispy, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, De Blue Guy, Decipher, DJ Dark Knight, DRP223, Game Guru, Gunstar Silver, Havoc978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Holly, Influx, Jamaican Wayne, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kells, Kazin, Kulex, Melted General, Misty, MXT, Nato, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nutman, Prowler, Rick and Elite, Shadow Next Gen, Shadows Liar, Soul Brother Rule, Squaggle, SSJ100, Matt, Sub-Z, Sully907, TDB30, Tedekin, TM9FAV, True, Valirno, Visid, VXJSNXV, WhatUpG, Wilcon, Xenocore, Xlink, Zappy, and DR4EV. So, that is it. I want to thank you guys for being here. And we'll see you guys next week, or see you on FNG on Friday. See ya. Bye. Nobi Nobi Boy sucks. Don't get it.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.